Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220. The Word, I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening and even join in the conversation tonight. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we can get you on the air here this evening. And let's see, we got a number of things to talk about yet tonight, but let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray that you would bless the program. Help us to be a blessing to somebody this evening. Help us to point those that are searching towards Christ, that they might find him as their Lord and Savior. We also pray for believers tonight that we could help people that are searching and have questions and help believers in their walk with you. Just use the program for your glory. Help us to lift up and glorify Christ through all that we do. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, like I said, welcome to the program. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm Pastor Al Davis. I'm not only the host of the program here, but I'm pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can find out more information about us by going online to our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can also link to our homepage for our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And also you can go to our Facebook page, or you can go to directly to our Facebook page at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. You can, in addition to seeing what we have on Facebook, oftentimes you can catch us on a Facebook live broadcast. And right now, we've got that working, and as long as the connection stays, we should be able to carry that through the program tonight. You can watch us there on Facebook Live as well at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. Well, remind you that the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor, meets at the the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road. That's 5171 Brecksville Road. And we'd love to have you visit out there. We'll have more information of that at the end of the program. Also, we have a break at the half hour point, and you can actually find out some more information there. And we'll probably touch on it a little bit later on in the program as well. Well, we're going to get into a few things tonight. I want to make a couple of comments on some things before we get to our phone calls. Wanted to remind you that a couple things coming up this week Tuesday, and I was going to look for it here. I was looking for it at the start of the program, but I believe it's on Tuesday this week. We have there's a prayer for the state of Ohio down at the Ohio State House, and that will be on June the 4th, and you can go online, Google that. I'm sure you'll find some more. If you're down in the Columbus area, that would be a good thing to check out, and then I believe that's starting in the morning. If I get some more information on that here before I get too far along in the program, I'll give out the time on that. I apologize, I don't have the time in front of me. Then coming up on June the 6th, this is the anniversary of D-Day, the D-Day invasion in Normandy, taking back Europe, bringing to the start of the end of the war in Europe, World War II. And it's the 75th anniversary of D-Day. And one of the things, excuse me. One of the things that is going to be featured this year on Thursday, June the 6th, just coming up this week, is a special presentation. Senator Rob Portman, He's our senator here in Ohio, and he is the sponsor of the legislation in the Senate that has made it possible in order to have the a bronze or well, it's going to be a permanent display with the letters in bronze of the prayer that President Franklin Delano Roosevelt gave when he announced on national radio that the invasion, the D-Day invasion, had begun. And he urged the country to pray for those that were fighting there. And so that is being put in the Circle of Remembrance, which is just north of the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. It's actually a part of the memorial. It's a part of the area that's being developed. And this is going to be a permanent display there. But in the meantime, Senator Portman has a program at 11:30 on June the 6th, where he's going to unveil a temporary plaque, and there's going to be a reading of the D-Day landing prayer there at the Circle of Remembrance. And Lord willing, I'm actually hoping to be there for that, so I'm kind of looking forward to that. I have not been in Washington, D.C. Quite a number of years. I'm trying to think. Last time I was there, probably a good 15 years ago, I think. So we're looking forward to that coming up, and I'll try to give some information about that not only on our Facebook page, but also on the radio program probably next Friday. And, of course, we're on Friday afternoon at 1:30 in the afternoon, and possibly talk a little bit more about it on Sunday night. So I hope you'll be able to get a chance to see some of that online and follow some of the coverage on some of these events, and do pray. Of course, the other thing today was a call for National Day of Prayer for President Trump, and our church was praying for him. Of course, we pray for the president every day, regardless of who the president is. When President Obama was president, we prayed for him, or I shouldn't say every day, but every time, every Sunday, and on our Wednesday night prayer meeting as well. And we did it when President Obama was president. We did it when President Bush was president. We believe very sincerely that when Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, where he said, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." I believe that is something that applies to whoever the president is, whether you voted for him or not, whether you agree with him or not, whether he's of your party or not. We're called to do so that we might live a quiet, we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Well, we might talk about that a little bit more too during the course of the program, but we're going to get to our callers here tonight. And, of course, our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. And I believe first up, we've got Nancy calling tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. I really appreciate you taking my call. And I just wanted to know your opinion, and I have a couple of conspiracy friends that truly believe that the government...
Nancy, let me interrupt just a second. I'm having trouble hearing you. Are you... Can you speak a little...
Okay.
Are you on a speakerphone by chance?
No.
Oh, there. You sound a little better now.
Okay, I was talking...
Oh, much better, much better. I can hear you now.
Yeah, I'll talk a little louder. I have a couple of friends that they think alike. They're very much into all these conspiracy theories. And both of them this week told me, I am positive that the government is controlling these very serious weather conditions, such as tornadoes and different things. And, you know, to me, it just doesn't make sense because the government's usually the one to pay for all these disasters. Why would they want to have a lot of disasters? And then also, if the government could control the weather, why wouldn't they do it to our enemies? You know, have terrible weather disasters, humongous, I mean, like the worst ever, say to Iran, North Korea, or China. So if they did have the ability, to, as these two friends of mine think that they do, why wouldn't they go after our enemies? And they wouldn't really know, hopefully, that it was this country, instead of sending bombs or whatever, they would know where it came from. So,
well,
and then also I thought maybe it's a way, if they are doing it, a way of reducing population. You know, the globalists want to reduce the population from 7 billion down to 500 million.
Yeah,
so
and
if you have any ideas on that?
Yeah. Now, weather control, you know, that has been something that governments, corporations, individuals have sought after probably from the beginning of time, if you think about it. I mean, even as Christians, we pray and ask God to change the weather, you know, some measure of weather control there, I guess, in that sense. Mm-hmm. But people have researched in times of drought, for instance, cloud seeding projects, ways to try and bring rain. And different mm-hmm. things like that. And, of course, oh, probably about 10, 15 years ago, a lot of people were talking about the HAARP project up in Alaska. And of course, there's supposedly some others in some other countries, similar things. And the idea of the HAARP project as presented was that they were able to modify certain areas in the upper atmosphere producing an artificial low pressure zone. And, you know, you think about it, when we get rain, you know, high pressure, we usually have good weather. You know, anybody that's got a barometer, you know, they used to say, well, the barometer's falling, there's going to be a storm coming, because that means a low pressure system's coming in. And if you think about it, what is a hurricane? It's a very large low pressure system.
Oh.
And a tornado, in a sense, is a very small, compact, low-pressure system. And so there's been these efforts, ideas that have been presented to control hurricanes, maybe weaken hurricanes, even to weaken and possibly even stop tornadoes. Those are all things that have been experimented with and talked about. And, of course, the HAARP technology, you know, of course, they continue to blame that on everything from, you know, droughts and hurricanes to, I think, planter's warts, you know, whatever, you know, they just throw it in there. But, there's abilities to do in certain instances some things, and China has put some effort into that. In fact, I think it was last year or so, Forbes magazine, if I remember correctly, was talking about something that China was trying to do. Let me see if I can find something real quick on here. It just seems to my mind there was something that China did last year, but I'm not seeing anything right away here. But what I was trying to say here is this is something that people have been trying to do, but the weather is such a notoriously difficult thing because it's so complex. There's so many things. I remember reading a book some years ago on chaos theory, and one of the thought experiments or things that they discussed in it was the idea that a butterfly flapping its wings on one side of the earth could be the instigator of a hurricane on the other side of the earth, how just little tiny things could affect the weather patterns in huge ways, in ways that we can't hardly imagine. And so, you know, people have touched on this, people have tried, and no doubt still are. And, let's see, here's the thing. Forbes magazine last year says that China launched some sort of a satellite or something where they thought that they were going to be able to affect the weather across large areas. And they've been trying to manipulate rainfall in China, of course, for some of their more arid interior reasons and regions and things like that. And different things that they've done, trying to put silver iodide particle into the air. And And of course, you know, the military has looked at applications of this, because if you had an army fighting on the battlefield or trying to do something, and you can bring in storms and things like that, it's going to hinder their ability to fight. And so you can see the things. But the ability to fine-tune and fine-steer hurricanes, and especially tornadoes, I think that's still the realm of science fiction myself. I think people are trying, and, you know, I don't know about what real success that they've had. I still remember one day, this goes back to the 1980s. I remember this in the 1980s when, or I'm sorry, let me go back to the 1970s. Those of our listeners who were around in the 1970s, you recall the Ice Age was coming. And the Akron Beacon Journal, this was back when it was worth reading, the Akron Beacon Journal interviewed some guy that was sitting on a hilltop in somewhere in the Summit County area. He didn't want anybody to know where he was at because he had a secret weather machine. This was actually in the paper. Now, I don't think the reporter believed too much of it, but he was able to go up there. He had to go blindfolded, if I remember correctly, and this guy was sitting in this little pyramid thing that he'd made with some 2x4s and plastic and things like that. And I don't remember what all he had in there, but he would go in there and he was manipulating the weather. He was bringing these huge snowstorms in.
Really?
Yeah, at least that's what he claimed. And in the same time frame, I remember hearing another guy call in on a radio station, one of the Akron radio stations, and he said, "Oh, I can control the weather." He said, "When it's raining and I have to go out of my car and it's raining," he says, "I roll down the window and I holler at the rain, 'Rain, stop, rain, stop.'" And he says, within 5 or 10 minutes, it usually stops. So a lot of it, you know, is kind of hope and smoke and mirrors and things like that. But there are serious efforts. And you know, with seeding clouds, we've had efforts that have borne some success in producing rain, and you know, I'm not going to rule out that they have some minor success in producing low pressure systems that could possibly turn into storm systems. And if you can prompt some low pressure systems ahead of a hurricane, perhaps, you know, the hurricane can be drawn in the direction of those low pressure systems and maybe avoid a more populated area, perhaps. And so the research goes on, but of course, the ability to do it on the fine tooth level, only God has that ability. And, you know, the Bible says he brings the rain upon the just and the unjust alike. So,
Well, you know, speaking of God, I think a lot of people believe that God did bring Katrina down to New Orleans. It was right before they're going to have this huge Gay Pride parade.
Yeah, the Southern Decadence Festival.
That I truly believe that God can bring on. You know,
and
but I don't think men with the government can.
Well, and with Katrina, that was the one too, where President George W. Bush, he had unfortunately pressured the Israeli government to turn the Gaza Strip over to Hamas, and the low pressure system that was forming in the South Atlantic as they were pulling the last Jewish settler out of the Gaza Strip, the meteorologists were saying, "Well, we don't think it's going to amount to anything, but if it does, we'll call it Katrina." And we also know that George W. Bush's father, when he became the first president to call for the division of the land, the division of Israel, to be divided with a portion, yet another portion. Most people don't realize that Israel was divided once before, forming the country of Jordan, where they gave about 3/4 of the country that was set aside as a Jewish homeland. They gave that over to be yet another Arab state, and left the Jews with about 1/4 of what had been set aside for them early in the 20th century. But President Bush became the first president to call for that remaining quarter, which we know as Israel today, to be further divided with a Palestinian, read that, Arab, and a Jewish state side by side. And he was in Paris, I believe, when that was called for. And there was a storm system in the Atlantic that was heading away from the United States, and it turned and it reversed itself, went back about 1,000 miles, and dead center struck Kennebunkport, Maine, and destroyed Bush's compound there.
Oh, really?
So these things have happened. The largest, pro-Nazi rally in the world outside of Germany in the 1930s took place on Long Island. And I think it was about a week, less than a month later, one of the strongest hurricanes ever to hit Long Island came in and went right directly across where that rally was held and just completely scoured the area.
Oh, that sounds pretty conclusive.
So, you know, there's a number of people who've written things about it. Was it John McTernan, whom some of our listeners are familiar with? He's been on some other programs. Yeah. He wrote a book, As America Has Done to Israel, where he documents some of this. There's a lot more. And so God can and does use weather on occasion. We know from the scriptures that he often told the Jewish people that when they did what they were supposed to do, that he would bless their crops and everything. When they didn't, that he would allow drought and famine to come in. And he did. So, God can alter and modify and change the weather. Man tries to, may have some limited successes.
Now, what do you think about God controlling the economy? I've heard at least one theory, one Bible-believing preacher say that under Obama, we were very hostile toward Israel, and the economy was very poor. But under Trump, he's been very pro-Israel.
And the economy's booming.
Because, you know, our economy's booming. Now, I think it's also because Trump is a businessman and he knows how, you know, he reduced regulations and cut taxes. But, I mean, do you think that that is a plausible theory?
Absolutely.
President.
I think it absolutely is because
your economy.
Because God promised that he would bless those that bless Israel and curse those that curse Israel. And that's one of the ways that he blesses country,
so
a people.
You go along with it. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. So I think you can say that right there, too. And the Jewish people were blessed when they were obedient to God. They prospered. So, so there's a lot there.
You.
And
well,
I appreciate
you, Pastor Al. You answered my question
I appreciate that, Nancy. Thank you so much.
Okay.
And have a great week.
Thank you so much.
Okay. God bless. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Ken calling in from Cleveland. Ken, welcome to the program tonight.
Hello, Pastor Al.
Hey, Ken, how are you doing?
Yeah, you brought up what I was thinking about the Dave praying for President Trump.
Yes, sir.
I saw that through the Franklin Graham, the Billy Graham evangelist.
Right. He was one of the prime pushers or movers behind that movement.
Yeah, I was thinking of the importance of the federal judges.
Oh, absolutely.
We have all these states now. All these states that have passed very significant pro-life legislation, and they're all being held up by the federal courts.
And you know what else, Ken, is he's put two pro-life-leaning justices on the United States Supreme Court. There's a lot of legal thought and opinion that Roe versus Wade was a very, very poorly decided case. Even people who are pro-abortion, many of them agree that it's a very poorly decided case and it needs to be revisited. Well, I'd sure rather have it revisited now with two stronger pro-life constitutionalist voices on the court rather than two more left-leaning, living document type people on there.
I guess we in Ohio, we've got a little bit of chance in the six. It looks like we have a chance in the sixth district appeals court. I guess six of the people have been put on there by Trump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that will directly affect, because a lot of people fail to realize how important the federal courts are, and for a lot of our Christian liberties to be upheld. You know, there's going to come battles here, court battles, as to, well, look in Cuyahoga County. The radio station's in Cuyahoga County, but I'm down in Summit County. But Cuyahoga County has that law where a church has to let a man use the women's restroom if he claims to be a woman. He can be an obvious man, but if he claims to be a woman, they can't legally keep him out of there. And they're trying to push that on Ohio through the Senate Bill 11, the Fairness Act, they call it. It's the Unfairness Act. And somebody in our church called it the Fruitcake Act. But, these things are going to be challenged. And thankfully, we're seeing a changeover in the courts, even the infamous Ninth District Court, which is the most overturned court district court that we have. They're saying by 2020, we'll be a majority Republican-appointed court, because Trump is quietly changing the makeup of that court through replacements and things as people, retire and leave the court. So, yeah, Ken, this is time to pray for our country, because we have some very interesting possibilities coming, don't we?
Okay, Godspeed to you.
Well, thank you, Ken, and keep praying. Keep up the good work there. And we're going to take a break here in just a moment. And we've got a couple of callers that are holding. I hope you'll hang on there, and we'll get to you after the break here. And stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561.
We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, good evening. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call at our toll-free number, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We can get you on the air here this evening. And if you are on right now, please hold. We'll be getting to you shortly here. I just wanted to mention a couple of things here before we get going in the second half of the program tonight. Just a reminder, of course, that we're brought to you tonight by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor. You can find us, as we said, at 5171 Brecksville Road. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, and we'd love to have you visit. We'll have more information about that at the end of the program. Also brought to you tonight by the East Coast Baptist, or East Coast Baptist, that's I almost said the East Coast Baptist Pizzeria there or something, but it's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, and the owner Gus there will be glad to know that I elevated him to a Baptist pizzeria there. But the East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, you can find them located at 4889 Turney Road, which is right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can give them a call for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you've never been there before, mention Live with Pastor Al. You get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, located right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. Call for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. Well, we're going to get back to our program here this evening, and glad to have you with us tonight. And let's see. We have, I believe, John is next up. And John, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding for us. Hello, John.
Yes.
Hey, there's John. Hello, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. Well, since you have another caller, I'll get right to the point. I was
okay.
going to ask you about Daniel 2:34.
Daniel chapter 2, verse 34?
Right.
All right. Let me get turned over there. Give me just a moment. What's your question there while I'm turning?
What is the stone?
Daniel chapter 2, okay. Down verse 34, this, of course, is where Daniel interprets King Nebuchadnezzar's dream about an image that he sees that represents a series of world kingdoms, first being recognized as the head of gold, the Babylonians under Nebuchadnezzar, then, of course, the arms and chest of silver, which represent the Media-Persian Empire, followed by the belly and the loins of brass, which was the Greek Empire, and then the Roman Empire, the legs and the feet of iron, and then that the Roman Empire gives way to the ten toes, which is a mixture of iron and clay. And that's thought generally to be the revived Roman Empire during the tribulation period. And then the stone that you're talking about in Daniel chapter 2, let's see, there's in verse 34 where it says, "Thou sawest till a stone, that a stone was cut without hands, or cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, that were of iron and clay, and break them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, and no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, and filled the whole earth." And of course, that stone represents the coming of Christ, the Messiah, destroying the world government systems and setting up his kingdom, which of course takes place at the conclusion of of the tribulation period. In fact, when he gives the interpretation of the dream, let's see, I'm getting down here a little bit to verse 44, and he says, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that a stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. The dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure." And so, so this is representing the coming kingdom that Jesus Christ is going to preside over. So I would say that the stone represented Jesus Christ, cut without hands. He's not man-made. He's not the product of humanity, a human government. And he is going to destroy the world governments, and he's going to establish a government which will indeed fill the entire world. So
now is that the millennial kingdom?
I believe so. And then, of course, we know that after the millennium and the new heaven and the new earth, of course, the Lord will rule from the new Jerusalem over all of the world and over all of the entire universe at that time.
Will there be anybody left on earth after the millennium?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Because the millennium, the end of the millennium is dealt with in Revelation chapter 20, where we have this in Revelation chapter 20. It says, "And when the 1,000 years are expired," this is as toward the end of the millennial kingdom, "Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea." In verse 9 it says, "And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." So God's people are gathered together here, and they're protected where God destroys the enemies. And then immediately from there, we go into the great white throne judgment, and the dead that have not accepted God, not accepted Christ, rejected him, in fact, they are going to be thrown into the lake of fire for all eternity. And then, of course, we come to the New Jerusalem in chapter 21, and we see that, and the new earth, the new heaven, the new earth, the New Jerusalem, and we see the nations of the earth dwelling in the light of the New Jerusalem, and going in and out of the city, and the angels coming back and forth, and of course, God is present there in the New Jerusalem.
When Jesus tells the disciples, "I'm going away to prepare a mansion for you," is that on heaven or on earth?
I believe that the mansion he is preparing is this New Jerusalem, because that's back in, what is it, I think it's John 14, where he says that he's going to prepare a place for us. And we see in Revelation chapter...
That's on earth?
I'm sorry?
You're saying that's on earth?
It will come to the earth, and that's what I'm saying. In Revelation chapter 21, we see a place that's been prepared, and let me see here. In chapter Revelation chapter 21, it says in verse 10, the angel is going to show John the bride, the Lamb's wife, and he takes him to see where the Lamb's wife is going to dwell. And of course, the Lamb's wife, the bride of Christ, that is the believers of this dispensation of grace. These are the people who put their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior between the time of the resurrection of Christ and the time of the catching away of the believers prior to the tribulation. We make up the bride of Christ. And so he's taking them to see the place that's prepared for him, or for us, I should say. And he says he carried me away in Revelation 21, verse 10. He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And then it goes on to give the description of this city. It's been prepared in heaven. It is now descending to the earth. It never says that it lands on the earth. In fact, there's good indication to believe that it would be parked in a geosynchronous orbit over the earth. Because we see that the city has no need of the sun in verse 27, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Now, these nations and kings of the earth and all is a reference to the other believers, the believers prior to the flood, the believers under the law, the people who came to Christ presumably during the tribulation and during the millennial kingdom. And they will be making up nations here on earth, and they come to the city, and they enter into the city. And it says in verse 26, they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. So this city comes from heaven where it's being prepared. It comes to the earth, and the glory of God lights it up. And it's like having a brilliant light in the sky over top of the earth, and the nations of them that are saved, it says, walk in the light of it. So,
and you're saying that Christ will always reside in it, right?
Well, he'll have a presence there, yes. But of course, you know, God fulfills all of his creation, so the presence is a visible presence for our purposes, because you know, a lot of times people who are atheists or agnostic, they struggle with the idea of God permeating all of the universe at any one given time, because they think of God as a function of the universe, meaning the universe contains him, and they fail to realize that the universe is a function of God. God contains the universe. The universe exists within the infinite being of God. It's something that he created. It's not created apart from himself. It's created within himself. And so because it's within himself, he permeates every part of it. And he's not limited to any one part of it, but he manifests himself in different forms, in different locations in his creation so that we can relate to him.
So you're saying the Christ that resides in New Jerusalem will not look like you and me?
Well, he'll look like Jesus Christ that ascended, that rose from the grave there some 2,000 years ago, appeared to the disciples and above 500 brethren at once, as the Bible says. He'll look like the Christ that ascended from the Mount of Olives into heaven while the disciples stood watching, and the angels appeared and said, "This same Jesus is coming back," and so that's what he'll look like, and that'll be the way that God manifests himself within that New Jerusalem. And it's not like he's just going to stay there and never leave there. He's going to permeate all of his creation, but we do see God manifesting himself in that fashion, just like he manifested himself in the fashion of the burning bush for Moses to see, or in the form of the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night for the Jewish people to follow when they left Egypt headed for the promised land, and in many other ways that God has manifested himself. And then, of course, as the Bible says, God was manifest in the flesh. That's the mystery of godliness, Paul wrote to Timothy, that God was manifest in the flesh. So,
well, these kings on the earth that are able to go up to the New Jerusalem, will they live forever on earth?
Well, this is in eternity in the future, so everybody will live forever. There is going to be no death at that point. There will be no need for death at that point. Death will have been dealt with. In fact, in chapter 21 of Revelation, it says in verse 14, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." So death will be no more. It'll be a thing of the past. Death is fundamentally a separation. Adam and Eve died spiritually when they ate the forbidden fruit. They immediately were separated from God in the spiritual sense. That was a spiritual death. When a person dies, the soul and spirit of that person are separated from the body. That's physical death. And, of course, when they're cast into the lake of fire for all eternity, they're separated from the presence of God. And so that's the death of the soul, or what's called the second death in the scriptures. So that'll all be done away with. The people who are inhabiting the new heaven and the new earth are all redeemed. Their sin nature is done away with, and there'll be no more death, so physical, spiritual, or soul-wise.
They'll live forever on earth?
Live forever in God's new heaven and new earth with access to all of it. So That's basically what the Bible gives us. Doesn't go into a whole lot of detail, but the indication is we'll have access to all of God's heaven and earth, the new heaven and the new earth. And I'm looking forward to being able to experience that. And we know that whatever God has, it's going to be beyond anything that we can imagine. It's going to be something that can occupy us for an eternity. So appreciate the questions there, John. So thanks for calling tonight. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Tom patiently waiting for us tonight. Tom, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, hi, Pastor. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. Did you have a good Memorial Day this past week?
Yeah, we didn't get down to the parade, unfortunately, this year. We just couldn't make it. But, I did a lot of reflection that day.
And, yeah.
Always thinking about those folks that went into battle to preserve our freedoms, and some of them never came home. You know, they shed their blood to keep us free.
I'll tell you, in Richfield, we had a guy that spoke. He's a World War II veteran. I think they said he was 96 years old, retired Army colonel, lieutenant colonel, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And he was there at D-Day, I believe, and different things. And, you know, God bless him. He was trying to stand up there and speak, but it was a challenge for him, advanced age. And you look at some of these guys and you think, wow, these guys, and some of them gave their all, and what a blessing. What a blessing. We have freedom today just to do what we're doing right now, don't we?
They sure did.
Yeah, my uncle was able to get there. I think he's one of the last remaining World War II veterans in Richfield. And so it's always kind of nice to be able to stand there. He had his World War II uniform on, and he was in the Army Air Corps. He was a tail gunner in a B-24, I believe it was. And so I get to stand next to him. I was in the Air Force myself. So.
Oh, you're talking about Buzzy?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's still getting out there, but, you know, he's getting up there in years, too. And many of our World War II veterans, we need to pray for them.
I got a couple things on my mind.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I was listening to, I don't know if you're familiar with the Renati son, TCT, Mark Blitz.
Mark Blitz sounds familiar.
Yeah, he's got some fascinating ideas. I was listening to a show he was on this evening earlier, and coming out with the next phase of technology for the end times is where they're going to start using chips to implant in the brain to give people super knowledge.
Oh, yeah. And in fact, there's a growing movement. I remember a few years ago, every summer or fall, I go to this legal seminar, Lighthouse Legal Ministries out in Ashtabula at Lighthouse Baptist Church. They have a Lighthouse Legal Ministries. A lot of people are familiar with Christian Law Association. And Brother Terry Hamilton, he's an attorney who helped organize Christian Law Association. When they went down to Florida, he stayed. He didn't feel led to go there. And so they started another legal ministry here in Northeast Ohio. And a couple of years ago, we were asked, what do we think in 20 years will be something that people be talking about? I said technocracy. And it was like everybody looked at me like a calf looking at a new gate, like, huh? Nobody, other than my wife, I don't know if anybody in the room knew what that term meant, but it's just what you're talking about right now. and people are starting to talk about it.
I think it ties in with the mark somehow.
Yeah, and I think it will, because see, the idea of technocracy is to blend humans and technology, whether it's genetic modification or actual hardware that is merged into people. Whether some kind of a chip,
it'll be all humanistic based.
Right. And exactly. And I kind of think it's like what the devil was trying to do back before the flood. Remember when it talks about the children of God? What was it? The sons of God and the children, or the daughters of men. And the sons of God were taking them as wives and having children. It said they were giants in the earth. I think part of what was going on is the devil was trying to pollute alter the genetics of humanity. That's one of the things where Noah was pure in his generations. I think that
what happened too with Nimrod and the Tower of Babel.
Yeah.
Knowledge was getting too increased.
Yeah. And so we see this again.
And that's why God, that's why God dispersed them and gave them different tongues. But yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, we really are living in tremendously interesting times.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's.
And I just thought that what he was talking about just kind of parallels with what Jesus was saying. In Matthew, I believe it was. That knowledge would be vastly increased.
Knowledge increased, and we are living in the day. And I just see I got another caller calling in yet tonight. But I was going to say we're living in a day where it's possible through technology to eavesdrop on virtually anybody.
Yeah.
We've seen it the way that the Democrats and the Obama administration and the Hillary campaign wiretap basically spied on the Trump campaign. And of course, the documentation coming out now shows that the Obama administration was doing that virtually from day one, at least of their second term, probably started doing it sometime in their first term.
Yeah.
And just the ability. I got a cell phone sitting right here. It says that it's off, but it could be recording everything I'm saying right now.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Second thing, and I'm going to get off because I know you got another call, but to your knowledge, I think I heard that the House did pass the Equality Act.
The U.S. House did. It's on its way to the Senate. Initially, they thought it would die quickly in the Senate, but now they're not so sure.
No,
so we need to pray about that.
No, some of the Republicans are swaying towards with the
That's
Democrats.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting. We need to really pray about that because that could really infringe our
freedom
as Christians to preach certain things about the Bible. So,
yes, absolutely.
Okay,
well, thank you, Tom, for calling. I appreciate
that.
And God bless. And one more quick caller. We've got Cynthia calling in tonight. Cynthia, welcome to the program this evening.
Thank you. How are you?
I am doing well. I apologize for the shortness of time, but glad to get you on.
That's okay. I just want to ask a real quick question.
Mm-hmm.
Decision Magazine, the Billy Graham Magazine, they have all the Democrats listed in there, and they offer LGBTQ, same-sex marriage, and abortion.
In actuality, there's really no real difference in any of the declared Democrat candidates.
Yeah.
They're all about the same, standing for socialism, the New Green Deal, abortion on demand, even post-birth abortion in many cases, same-sex marriage, LGBTQ, alphabet soup, it's a danger. It's a danger. And we need to pray for our country.
Yeah, for reformation and repentance.
Exactly. We need a nation that turns back to God. I think we're seeing a polarization in America, where some people are really turning back, and hence the heartbeat bills and things like that. And then, of course, the other side of things. Hey, Cynthia, we're out of time. 5 seconds to go. I want to thank everybody for listening. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452 Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.